34 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yep.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We got the Rapture Watch in the wings and my mother hopefully on the phone to talk to us about Florida. Mark, I can barely make it to Pilates because the trees are in the street. But right now, our next guest is a comedian who's extremely vocal on political issues that are near and dear to her heart. Her latest book, I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight, is a survival guide to making it through 2008. Margaret Cho joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Margaret Cho, my friend.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you.
I know I haven't seen you for a very long time.
You look well.
Thank you.
Well, I haven't been back to L.A. in a while, so we don't run into each other as much.
I know. Well, it's good to see you. You're very, very burgundy.
Yes, it's fall. I'm doing my professorial thing. I walk in this morning, Brendan McDonald goes, good morning, professor.
Uh-oh.
I've always wanted to be a college professor.
I think that, and you have, like, patches and everything.
Yeah, I find this. It was hard to find the jacket with patches on the shoulders.
Suede patches, they're kind of the mark of the child molester.
Oh, no.
The suede patches?
My wife is young, but I don't think that she's a child. She's 29. That doesn't count as a child.
No,
does
that's
it?
Not a child.
Yeah. So you're on the book tour. Are you doing any shows? What's been going on, really?
Well, I've been doing book readings and everything. I'm going to be Harriet Myers for Halloween.
Oh.
That's scary.
Yeah, by being totally unprepared, and I'm not going to end up going out anyway.
Sit at home dressed like her?
Yeah. It's so sad, isn't it? I don't even care about her.
Yeah, no one cares about
Nobody
her.
Cares about
Bush
her.
Bush doesn't even care about her.
No, she was of like this weird sacrificial lamb, sort of. I'm still reeling over Roberts.
Yeah, that was a mind blower. He just kind of swept in there, the Antichrist.
That was Fred Thompson,
bam.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
That was Fred Thompson.
That's right. Hire an actor to do the job of getting him through, and he'll just slide through like a lubricated whatever. I didn't even want to go there, and I was in it.
I think it's just a sick smokescreen for the indictments.
Well, but you know what? It's like, I don't know how it could be that, because it makes him look bad. It makes him look weak. It makes him look like he's hanging his friends out to dry. There's so much crap going on that it's just like a buffet.
It's like a buffet.
Yeah.
It's hard not to gloat.
I know, exactly. We've been gloating too much here.
I know. It's almost like we're gloating, but then at the same time, it's still our government, even though, you know.
I know.
It's a horrible thing. Those are the people that were supposed to be our elected officials, and it's just this crazy shenanigans.
A lot of people cannot separate their respect for the office of president from the president. My stepmother, who I love her. She's a great woman, but there is a part of her that just will not see the president as bad. Incapable of doing it.
I know.
So yeah. Do you when you go out on the road or when you travels, do you get accosted by Republicans ever, or do you get
No, it's more of like a veiled suspicion and a kind of anger. Like I do these morning shows, and you know the morning shows.
Hey, how you doing? Margaret Cho is here.
Well, that? Right.
Hey, funny girl, what do you got? What are you doing in town?
But it's like there's something going on with morning show hosts across America, because there's a lot of racism.
Yes.
That's a lot of sexism. It's where I encounter the worst racial hate crimes.
Yeah. What do they say? Like,
they all think it's hilarious.
We got an Oriental lady in the house.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like they'll play Chinese music.
Oh my
like,
God! Come on!
They like come in their mandolins playing.
No, you're kidding me.
Wait a minute! I would have thought with you that had been a pretty dangerous thing to do, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's terrible. And they asked me, well, what was it like to make Charlie's Angels?
Oh my God!
And I said, well, I was very busy doing The View, so I have no idea.
I hate when they do that to you. Where you're like, you got stuff prepared, you want to talk about stuff, and they're like, so what's Dave Letterman like?
I know, but it's this weird thing where their political views are so skewed. I think it's because they get up too early or something.
Well, they want to disarm you too, and they want to take advantage. I have found just by being, you know, given that I'm a narcissistic, self-centered person, and I'm now on radio, I more clearly understand what it's like for some of those guys. And you being an outspoken woman coming into the world of their little capsule, you know, it's sort of like she's on our turf. It's fair game.
Right.
You know? And I believe that's true.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. But they also want to be friendly. So that's all they know how to be, friendly, being very aggressive. But so when I talk about politics, they get very uncomfortable. Like when I was saying, well, like, you know, this week the KKK had a rally in Texas for to protest gay marriage.
Yeah.
And so I was talking about how this means George Bush agrees with the KKK.
Yeah.
And they said, well, all right there, Lily, hold your horses. And then like a sound effect.
I think we might have one of those.
Yeah.
How about one of these?
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
But that would go in there, and it's like, what? You know, they're just clearly afraid.
Yes.
Of that.
Well, they're afraid that they're going to get in trouble. They're afraid they're going to lose their job, and they're afraid to be put in the position where they'll actually have to act like they like you.
In
after you've stated your political opinion.
I know. It's very frightening.
Now, the front cover of your book.
Yes.
Has the famous Tanya pose.
Yes,
from
Tanya.
Patty Hearst, the SLA days.
She's just so sexy. And I just...
John Waters obviously thought so, because he hired her afterwards. But, I mean, that's a pretty provocative thing to do, because at the time, I know a lot of people young don't remember back when all of this took place, but, I mean, she was absolutely demonized at one point.
Right. I think that the photograph is to refer to this idea that anybody who's critical of the government now days is considered a terrorist.
Yeah.
And so that's what the cover is just directly referring to, is that kind of attitude. And also, there was once a time when terrorism was fabulous. And that was long ago.
That was a long time ago. I got to ask you this, though. Later on this morning, probably by the time we get off the air, we will know who's indicted. Who you got going in?
Well, I mean, of course, Karl Rove, and hopefully Dick Cheney.
She's aiming big.
She's picked the two that I don't think, and I'm just speculating, but I don't think those two are going to get it.
I don't think so either, but I'm kind of hoping if I say it, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
Well, we keep saying it because I think it does provide a certain amount of satisfaction for us to fantasize about that. And I hope, like I've been saying all morning, that if he doesn't get indicted, if Rowe doesn't get indicted, I'm just going to have to go back to, imagine killing him.
Oh, well, he's just such an evil queen.
Yeah.
Miss Rowe.
Yeah, queen. Oh.
Mrs. Karl Rove is such an evil queen. I mean, she's just the worst. And this is good karma. I mean, this is karma actually in action happening.
Yeah. Do you get that now? Like, do you get flack? I know, like, I've known you for years, and I know you have this. Is your brother still born again or what have you?
Yes.
Where is he politically, and how does that how do you engage with him?
You know, he's just not really, he's not really that kind of evangelical, Republican. He's different. I mean, he's more of a spiritual person. And so I don't really actually have very many arguments politically with my family, because they're very apolitical in their way, which is a weird stance, because they don't believe that they're actually Americans, even though they've been here for a very long time, because they feel foreign. They feel like not connected to this country, so they don't vote.
Well, that's interesting. You'd think that they would vote, that they'd jump in and try and get involved. You haven't tried to get them involved?
I've tried to, but this is not our country.
No, look, I felt that way during a time in my life, and I was born here. So you get to a point where you feel alienated, and voting doesn't really mean anything.
I know, and I'm trying to get them out of feeling that. But you know, it's a difficult thing when they're so committed to that idea.
Do they feel like guests? I mean, they can't feel like strangers here.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what they feel. They're just like biding their time till they can go back.
Really?
Yeah, they always just want to go back.
Where are they from exactly?
They're from Korea. They're from Seoul.
Uh-huh.
So, but they're suspicious. They're kind of like the people on Lost.
Yeah.
You know, those Korean people on Lost who are just always looking. They're always thinking somebody's going to shoplift something from the island. Staring.
Really? That's so funny. Do they ever go back to you? Have you ever been there?
I've been there, but I haven't been for many years. I think that it's a country that I would love to visit, but it's kind of, for me, there's a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
I have a lot of unresolved feelings toward my own ethnicity, but to ethnicity itself, the idea of ethnicity,
uh-huh.
I want to somehow more Americanize that idea. You know, I just don't want to. It's weird how it's like I'm thinking about how great, you know, Rosa Parks is, remembering the life of Rosa Parks and how powerful the civil rights movement was, and why can't this happen for other minorities? Why,
mm-hmm.
You know, people are so, you know, reluctant to express their racism against African Americans. They do it in private, I know.
Yeah.
They don't do it in public. You know, there's so much racism there, but they don't do it in a public forum where it seems very comfortable to do so for other minorities like Asian Americans or anybody else. It's a weird thing. So I'm like trying to look at the civil rights movement as a great example of what to do.
And what have you got going on that?
Well, I just feel like we need some sort of
Have you sat on the bus and said, I am not moving? And people are going, no one's asking you to move.
No one's asking you to move. It's okay. Yeah, because it's much more subtle now. It's not even about like the kind of outright like hateful stuff that was going on before with mm-hmm. African Americans. It's like such a different thing.
Well, it's like those morning radio guys, you know, thinking that it's okay to play Chinese music. I mean, that's not even subtle. I mean, that's outright. And they think they're just being cute.
I know. They think it's sweet and cute. And I think it's just a strange place to be, because where do we define racism nowadays? You know, how can we say this is racist when it doesn't make people as uncomfortable? You know, it's a weird thing.
But you know what happens, though? People define for themselves, like those morning show guys, they define for themselves what's racist. So what's racist to you doesn't matter to them.
Right.
They say, well, that's not racist. I'm not racist.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because, like, we're talking to Margaret Cho, by the way. Her new book is "I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight." It's a pretty book. It's got you as Patty Hearst on front. But I've had those moments where people think they're being politely racist somehow. Like there was that time when I was in. I'm not race specifically, but just the Jewish thing. I used to do in my show like 20 minutes on being a Jew and not being that comfortable with it. And some guy in Texas walks up to me after the show and goes, "You're a funny guy, but you're not really a Jew, are you?"
Oh, my goodness.
I just made that up. Because I thought, have you experienced that where they think that they can talk to you in that way?
Yeah,
you're
just not like all the rest.
All the others,
You're
one of ours.
You.
Yeah.
You're not like them.
I grew up in a predominantly white town. I heard that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of us. You're not you're not going down there marching in Birmingham with, you know, those people are crazy. You're one of us.
So why don't you hang out? We'll call my mother. Did you get her on the phone, Brendan, or no? No, it's not going to happen. Well, Margaret Cho, just hang out, and we'll come back in a second, continue talking to you. I'll try and get my mommy on the phone to see what's going on in Florida. So stay here. It's Morning's Edition. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rob Zombie, and it says here, when I'm watching the sunrise after a long night of waking the dead and toasting nachos in the microwave, I listen to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We're sitting here with Margaret Cho. I have her new book in my hand. I've chosen to stay and fight. We've got the Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington, a.k.a. Jim Earle, who you know as well.
Oh, my old friend.
Yes. Did you see him out there?
No, I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's going to do a bit in a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's from San Francisco. We got a lot of San Francisco guys here.
Yeah.
We got my mom on the phone. She's on a cell phone from Hollywood, Florida, reporting to us about the realities of Hurricane Wilma. Good morning, Toby Maron. What's going on down there?
Okay. Very little is going on down here. We still don't have electricity. All the traffic lights are out. People are online for miles waiting to get gas.
How long are they on there? You can slow down. I was just kidding. How long are they online for? How long are people waiting for gas?
Like 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
And they're pushing their car.
Oh, my God. And are you able to get the Pilates, or is there no Pilates, no exercise?
No. There's no. It's like we're cut off from the world.
Are you
no
able
one
to?
Understand.
Oh, are you able to jog at all, or?
You can jog, but you have to jump over the trees that are in the road.
Okay. Now, what about food? I know that's not important to you, but I assume that John...
it's important when you don't have it.
It's more important when you don't have it. So your neighbors are busy having barbecues because they were smart enough to have coolers, and you. What are you doing for food?
Well, they offer it, but, you know, being a vegetarian, you don't want lettuce that's a week old.
All right. Well, you know, as long as you have nice neighbors, it's...
Very nice neighbors, but we are checking out of the area and going to where there's light.
Okay, so you're going to get a hotel. And what's going on is... what about all this stuff about water and ice?
People wait online for hours, and sometimes the trucks show up and sometimes they don't.
Well, that's horrible. So who do you blame, Mom?
I'm blaming the president.
Oh, good. Okay. I didn't prompt her for that. That just happened.
No, you did it. The president and his family.
Okay. Okay. Good. Sure. The family. Yeah. They're
make
all.
It personal.
Yeah. They're all bad. Him and his brother, and probably FEMA too. Right? FEMA.
It must be.
All right, Mom. I love you. This has been riveting.
Oh, you want to use me every other day or something?
Absolutely. We'll call you. We'll call you on Sunday.
I
love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So that was Toby Maron reporting from Florida. So, yeah, you, of course, everyone knows about your relationship with your mom. Do you guys still, are you an adversarial relationship with her still?
No, we're very close. We, you know, she had a heart attack, and that made me so afraid, you know, so that made us our relationship a lot closer.
So they have to actually, you have to be scared that they're going to die to love them properly?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
you know, once you realize that the clock is ticking.
Oh, I bet you that's true.
It's really a scary thing. Then you're like, oh, okay.
Whatever you want, but they still annoy you, but you just don't let it bother you?
Yeah, I don't let it bother me. My mother's great, and she's, you know, she's, I actually played her, I made a movie this year, and I played her in the movie.
What's that called, the movie?
It's called Bam Bam and Celeste.
When's that coming out?
It's coming out, I don't know. It takes a while. It's like this, you know, who knows, you make the movie, and then it takes forever to do anything, but maybe next year.
So you played her? And
yeah, I played her, and I had the wig and the makeup and everything, and it was such a hit that now I'm going to do a television show playing my mother.
Really?
So I'll be a 70-something-year-old woman on on a TV show every week. Hopefully. We'll see.
Well, that's so weird because a million years ago, you played yourself on a TV show.
Yes.
And now you're going to actually play your mother.
My mother on a TV show.
Who played your mother in that original?
My mother was played by Jodie Long.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the original show.
So now you can do it the way you want to do it.
Yeah, so it'll be great. You know, that show was weird because, you know, I came out of the show and then over time, I played my father's wife, and then my brother's wife.
Really?
And, like, we all had, like, these weird incestuous things in different, like, films and TV shows later on because there's so few Asian-American actors. We just had to, like, you know, just double up.
You know, you all know each other,
We all know each other. It's like, yeah. We're like hillbillies. It's like the Appalachians.
Korean Appalachia.
Yes.
So you wrote a thing in your book here about going to see David Bowie, and it's weird because I just got... Did you see those Dick Cavett? Dick Cavett just released...
Yes.
Did you see the David Bowie one? You're
with Iggy Pop.
Yeah, no, this was...
No, that was Dinah Shore.
Yes, Dinah Shore. Uh-huh. No, Dick Cavett's got David Bowie right when Young Americans came out,
yes,
and
yes.
He interviews him. It's mind-blowing. I was a huge Bowie fan when I was a kid, and I guess you are as well.
A huge Bowie fan.
So what was it like to see him? Did you get to meet him or what?
Yes, I got to meet him. He's a very, very lovely, lovely man. Very, very gentle and kind. And so he went on the Ellen show the next day.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, and I met Margaret Cho yesterday.
Oh,
and
my God.
And Karen Kilgariff, who's like the segment producer on that show, was so excited. She called me. She said, oh, my God. David Bowie said your name. Oh, my God. Like, we're like so pleased by the littlest things, but
that's
he's
pretty
great.
Big. That's pretty big.
He's major icon, great guy.
Have you ever met other heroes of yours that blew you away? Did you act weird when you met him? Because I've done stupid things in front of people. I've
I cried. I met him. What have you done? Who did you meet?
I met Richard Pryor once, but he was ill by the time I met him, so I behaved kind of well on that one. One time I met Eric Clapton when I was at the Comedy Store, and I shook his hand, and I said, oh, my God, I touched the hand. What a stupid thing to say.
No, that's nice, though.
But I'm not even that huge an Eric Clapton fan, but I was kind of being a jerk. You know what I mean? Like there's some part of me that just wants to be like, so who are you, big guy? So you're Eric Clapton.
All right. You were in Cream.
Guys are part of the post-Cream generation.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, but everyone knows those songs.
See, I know exactly where I was when I first heard I Feel Free.
It must have been quite a place for you to remember that.
Oh, no, I was a teenager. I was in high school.
But that's vague. You said exactly.
No, exactly. I was standing on the steps of a military school in front of my company dormitory.
So it actually had resonance.
Mm. It's like, extraordinary resonance.
I don't feel free.
But Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix was bigger for me. That changed my life.
Which music changed your life, Margaret Cho?
What music changed my life? I think I don't know.
Do you like the New York Dolls?
I don't know. Yes, I do.
We're having a guy who made a documentary.
I know. I saw that. So cool.
It's such a sad documentary. I got to give you a copy of it. It's really profound. There's Jim Earl right now. Look at him sitting in there.
Oh my God.
It's old home week.
It is old home week.
You should hang out and listen to his bit. It's very funny.
It's like Clement Street all over again.
Oh, my God.
Jim.
Look at that. The Holy City Zoo.
How are you, Jim?
All right. Well, you guys can have a reunion. Margaret Cho, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
The book is I Have Chosen to Stay and Fight. It was great seeing you. We are going to come back here. We are definitely going to have Jim in here. And you're going to like his bit. He's a very bright fellow, that Jim.
I know he is.
And we are going to, as I said before, we are going to talk to the director of this New York Dolls film. It's about the bass player. We're going to also cover in a few minutes. We will talk about the top news.
Maybe we'll get a little indictment leakage.
Yeah, well, maybe that. Maybe they'll get on early and and give us a taste. Just a taste. We just have a taste of Schadenfreude, of justice. Can one of them go down that we want to see? I want Rove to go down. It's 57 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
That's right. Good morning. It's 6 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We just talked to Margaret Cho. I didn't tell my Margaret Cho story. I suppose you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I should have done it when she was here. We mentioned on the break, I don't think she'd be upset. I'm the one that looks like an idiot. We were taping that show, Comics Come Home, in San Francisco. All of us, it was, you know, me and Patton Oswalt and Warren Thomas, and I don't know if Jim Earl was, I don't think he was on it, but Margaret Cho was there. We all flew in, and most of us had lived there for a couple years in the past. They put us all into one hotel. We had a huge party before the day of the taping. Mistake. Everyone was walking around hungover, you know. And that night, though, it was back when I was drinking, so it must be seven, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but I'm just following Margaret around all night because Yeah. So I'm following her around like a little dog, just flirting and being drunk and begging probably. And it's like the end of the night, it's like 3 a.m, drugged up, I'm drunk, I'm a mess, and I walk her to her door, and I walk into her room, and she's like, "What?" She makes out with me for like maybe 40 seconds, stops, and she goes, "Okay, is that what you wanted?" And I'm like, "Yeah, all right. Whoa. I guess so." And I walked away back to my room. All right, well, that's that story. Not that exciting. But